church is the body of Christ and one place in our world where you do not have to earn admission. We come as the body of Christ by the grace of God. Let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand and sing our call to worship. It's in your hymn book, number 12. Great is the Lord. Let's sing through it one time.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
You pass that test every Sunday. And I'm thankful for that because God is good. That's why we are here, to celebrate His goodness, His mercy, His love, His forgiveness. As we gather, we greet you in the name of the Lord, especially our visitors who are with us today. And we encourage you, if you would, take a visitor card. You'll find those right on the back of the pew in front of you. And you can place those in the offering plate today. It helps us get to know you a little bit better and know about your time with us. Just one announcement. Amy is asking if you are willing to help with the upcoming stew, which raises money for missions. If you're willing to help cook the meat, they have to have several people cooking the various meats for the Brunswick stew. She will be in the vestibule after the service. If you're willing or just interested or even want to know what does that involve, just see Amy after the service. And now I want to just invite Jeff to come and share a little bit with us. Jeff?
Where are you? Trey. the other coordinator. Committee.
Well, being mistaken for Jeff is a compliment. It's a compliment, no doubt. The reason I'm coming here this morning is because our church is a church of responders. You know, if you think about it, the last few weeks we've seen the deacon teams, they're taking shape. You know, the casserole team, the hospital visitation team, and as our church has expanded and as our church has gone out to meet the needs of the community, we are asking for another type of response. We've fallen just a bit behind on the budget. And so the stewardship committee this morning is coming to, we want to have a sort of a catch-up Sunday next week, and we're just asking you to be in prayer about what you might be able to do. Y'all have a great day.
That's it. I told you it'd be less than a minute.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff and David are away with our junior high youth on the retreat. We also would encourage you to say a word of prayer for them today as they return home and travel. And then finally, we are wanting to encourage you to pray for the family of Roy Hicks. And by family, I mean us as well, his church family. What a loss, but what a gain for the kingdom of God. And we want to remember him and his family as well today. As we continue to worship, you'll see the title of the sermon is One Tough Little Squirrel. You can ponder that as we sing the hymns and hear the scriptures together. But I invite you to begin thinking even now about this question. What are the sacrifices and the sufferings that you have endured for the sake of Christ?
Our opening scripture reading is from Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Will evildoers never learn? Those who devour my people as men eat bread and who do not call on the Lord? There they are, overwhelmed with dread. For God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God of all faithfulness, you have opened the gate of mercy for your people. Oh, it can be difficult for us to admit that we are the ones who have gone astray, that we are the ones who do not seek you. But you promise us in your holy word that if we humble ourselves and turn from our wicked and earthly ways, then you're eager to reconcile with us. And when we admit our sins, we find your mercy overflowing to give us new life. Thank you that you're always ready to welcome those who turn to you. Look on us in compassion that we may gladly respond to your love and faithfully walk in your way through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Please stand for our hymn of praise, How Great is Our God. Thank you. Our prayer revolution focus today is for the church-wide Pirate Adventure Party. The children's ministry team has been working so hard on the decorations and the planning of this event. It will be tonight, starting with the fellowship meal at 5:30, followed by a pirate adventure hunt at 6 o'clock for the children. Then at 6:30, we'll return to the fellowship hall and begin trunk or treating. So I encourage you to invite your neighbors, your friends, your grandchildren. We've spent many hours handing out flyers at soccer games and visiting parks. So we're hoping for church-wide participation and really hoping that many guests will come and join us. This will take the place of all other regular scheduled activities on Sunday night. So you're invited to come, dress like a pirate, and join in on the fun. We are also in need of a few more trunks for trunk or treat time. So if you're able to join us, just come tonight. And if you are not participating in our trunk or treat, please park on the upper section of the parking lot. Let's pray together. Almighty God, bless and protect our children's ministry. Thank you for the opportunity to open these church doors tonight and to tell others about your great love. We hope that there will be visitors. And Lord, help us to be warm, a warm and a welcoming church, to be thoughtful, to be helpful. We pray, Lord, that you would bless our labor, that we might help to reach the children of our community and even their parents for you. Amen.
Now I get to invite all the children to join me here at the steps for our children's sermon. If you would come forward, kids. And I'm just going to make myself comfortable here.
Oh, you know, I don't go to bed early enough on Saturday night, so would you just wake me up in a few minutes when the service is over with, okay? You're supposed to be refreshed by the sermon. I'm going to be refreshed. Huh? It's over.
Can you fall asleep in church? Wait a minute. Have you ever? Did you hear that? They said no. But have you ever gotten sleepy in church? Yeah. Even though church is something really important, I've fallen asleep in church before. Not recently, but I have. It's easy to get tired when we're doing something, even something that's good, even something that's fun, even something that we like. And sometimes we get tired by getting sleepy, but sometimes you just get tired of doing something. Like when the Bible tells us that we're supposed to share. Do we ever get kind of, sometimes we get kind of tired of sharing our things and we think, you know, I'm kind of tired of this. Or maybe the Bible tells us we're supposed to be nice to people, even the people who are mean to us. Anybody ever been mean to you before? Sure. People have been mean to me before, too. And sometimes we can say, you know, I'm tired of being nice to everybody. But does that mean we get to just quit and lay down and stop being nice and stop sharing and stop doing good things for other people? No. Is right. You're not supposed to stop doing what's right, no matter how many times we have to do it, no matter how tired we might get. We're supposed to keep doing what is right. Now, a little bit later in the sermon, we're going to hear about that. We're going to hear about how important it is to keep working and keep doing the things God tells us to do, no matter how hard it ever gets. So I want you to pray with me right now. We're going to ask God to think about our church and the people who are here and ask God to give all of us a little extra strength and commitment. Commitment means doing something even if you don't want to do it, even if it's hard. Let's pray for commitment. Dear God, we pray for everybody here in this place that you would give us all the strength and the encouragement we need to always do what is right and what is good, to do the things you tell us to do. Help us all to have
commitment. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. All right. Does anybody need a pillow? No? Okay. You can go back to your seats. Did you say you?
Our offertory hymn is "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes." Let's stand and sing hymn number 608. We'll sing just the first verse. Please stand. In the hymn, "We Give Thee But Thine Own," it says, "We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. And all that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship in your house today. Help us to remember that the things that we have, that you have blessed us so, that we need to offer those back to you. We thank you for this day. We thank you that you are here for us. In your name we ask it. Amen.
Upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Without borders, let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Above the waves, when oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine.
Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, the global needs are many. And we hear threatening news everywhere we look, everywhere we turn. There are words of ISIS and Ebola and war and hunger and thirst and oppression. There are needs right here as well, right here in our own state and in our own community. There are good fights that are being fought, and often they seem like losing battles. And in our own lives, personally, Father, we struggle as we see the needs of the ones we love, many who are sick, many who are homebound or confined to assisted living facilities. And perhaps they feel quite alone this morning. But we know, Lord, you are God of all things. That's enough to say to you that you are God. Above all and over all, Alpha and Omega, Creator, Savior, and Sustainer, you are our God. We cling to you and trust in you and your mercies. And yet we confess, Lord, that often we lose heart in the face of so much bad news. Often we lose heart and even doubt. We worry when we should not. We cringe when we should be moving forward with the work of your kingdom. But Lord, we confess we are ones who need to have our hands held when we cross the road that leads to your kingdom. But we do not go by our own strength. We give you thanks, O God, this morning for your mercy and your forgiveness. That you are a God who will hold our hands. You're the God who will wipe our tears away. You're the God who will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You're the God who prepares a place for us in your kingdom. And we give you thanks in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Our second scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke. It's one that's quite popular at times of need. And here Jesus tells us in chapter 11, beginning in verse 5, and he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, And you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he has his friend, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. Who is it? So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his word.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Spirit, we pray that you would be wisdom for us. Make our minds wise by transforming them, that our minds might be like Christ, to see the world as Christ sees it, and to hear these words of Holy Scripture, not as simple black on a white page, but words of life and transformation. In his name we pray. Amen. Think back, if you will, to your first home. Now, some of you, perhaps you had the resources to have something very nice. But if you're like me, you lived in something just a step above a barn. Think back to that first house and all of the things that could have gone wrong with it, all of the things you had to fix. Maybe there was a leak in the roof, or maybe it was too small, or maybe it was too big. I don't know what your problem might have been. And I think about my friend, Michael Ternowski, a good guy. And I think about one of his first houses. He, like me at that time in our lives, we were broke, had very little and less than that. And he lived in this old farmhouse with several other friends of his. And they were so excited about having it. You know, you can look past a lot of things when you're excited. You look past the gaps in the ceiling and the holes in the tin roof in certain strategic spots. And he looked past just the rattiness and the rundownness of this house. He looked past all of that until the first night he slept in the house. He says that it's sometime around midnight it began. The occurrence. A scratching noise in the attic. A scurrying about. A menacing scurrying. I'm not sure how scurrying can be menacing, but it was. And then he looked up, and there in the slat in the roof, he saw a little claw come through. Something terrible and hideous was in the attic. So Michael puts on his safari hat, and he gets his flashlight, and he has one of those pellet pistols that uses the little CO2 cartridges, and it's fully loaded, he said. And he pulls down one of those staircases, climbs up into the attic, and begins shining the light around, looking for the monster, the creature. He's shining the light in every corner, and he said then he could hear the thing behind him. And it's like that old monologue, "Slowly I turn." And shine the light, he did. And there was a hideous, disgusting and distorted, monstrous little, you know, squirrel. He said, and I don't know how much of anything that my friend Mike says can be true, but he says that it growled at him. And then it began coming toward him. He said it was like running on its hunches like a squirrel does, but it was doing it in a vicious, terrible way. And so he opened fire. It was like in the movies when the planes come across the beach and strafe the beach and the sand flies up. The insulation was poof, poof, poof as he was firing and backpedaling towards the open staircase. He said he fell down the staircase, firing shots into the tin roof, threw up the ladder, closed the opening to the attic, and lay on his back in pain. And he says he could hear this squirrel up in the attic laughing. Night after night, this thing tormented him. He tried setting traps. He tried other unspeakable things. Nothing seemed to work. Then one day, he was outside, and he saw up on the top of that tin roof that squirrel. He grabbed again his trusty pellet pistol, and he opened fire. He said sparks were flying on that tin roof as those little pellets dinged and skidded across the tin, and the squirrel ran this way, ran that way. It was hopeless. Nowhere to run, nowhere to go. And then finally, with one fateful leap, the squirrel leaped through the air towards the lamppost,
and caught onto the telephone pole right here. Bullets whizzing by. He worked himself up on top of the lamp. Mike took one more shot. It burst the lamp, and the squirrel fell to the ground. I was sad. Liz is sad right now. But Liz, it's okay. The squirrel began crawling across the road and into the bushes. And Mike says, from deep within the bushes, he could hear that squirrel laughing at him. The next night, guess what? Scratch, scratch, scratch. They gave the squirrel the house. Just let him live there. Why? Because he did not give up. He was persistent in his demand that this was his house, and no amount of pellets or traps or yelling or beating and banging or screaming or perhaps even praying was going to get him out of his attic. I've thought about that little squirrel over the years. You know, it is just a funny little moment in someone's life that means nothing. But doesn't it challenge you to think about this creature with that much tenacity and determination and commitment? There was something in that little tiny brain of that squirrel that said, no, it's important for me to be here, and he's not going to run me off. Sometimes when I'm tempted to be discouraged or run off from a cause or from a ministry project or from something that I'm trying to accomplish in the community or in my own family or something I'm even trying to work on in my own life, I think about that squirrel and I say, "Ooh, that was one tough little squirrel. I wish I could be like that." Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, to a group of people who felt discouraged. They felt many times like they were fighting a losing battle to establish the church and to save the world. There was nothing less to their mission than that, to save the world before the world ends. And unlike us, these folks believed the world was going to end any day, any moment, any time. That it was coming, but every day it didn't come. And they grew discouraged. And Paul writes, beginning in verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand? It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy upon the Israel of God. For from now on, let no one make trouble for me, for I carry the marks of Jesus branded on my body. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen." The first part of that scripture, maybe it seems obvious why we might read that
in a sermon like this. He's saying God's not going to be mocked. In other words, no matter how discouraging the world may seem, God is God. We said that from the beginning. We say it again. God is God, and he will not be mocked by anything that happens in the media, by anything that happens in the world, by anything that happens in our community or church. God is in control. He is Lord. That's the profession of our faith. Jesus Christ is Lord over all. And so Paul says, moving from that fact, we can establish this, that when we work for the Lord, when we sow the things of the Lord, we will reap the things of the Lord. He says, you reap whatever you sow. You reap whatever you sow. What are you sowing into the world? What are the things that you are sowing out into the community? I think sometimes we fail to take stock over our lives. We assume we are doing a lot of things good. We assume that we are good people. We assume that we are Christian people. But if we were to write down the things that we do that add value to the community, that address a need of the community, that fix or work to solve a problem of our community, for some of us, perhaps the list would be woefully short. What do we sow into this church? The great problem with the church today is that we come to be fed, to receive. And many people will call and say, tell me, Pastor, how will your church meet my needs? That's the wrong question. How will you meet the needs of the church? What do we sow into this body of Christ? If I were taken away, ask yourself this, if I were taken away today, if you were taken away today, what would be the things that would be missed? Would there be a class that would need to be taught? A hole in the offering that would need to be filled? A person who would not be visited today because you were gone? A ministry that perhaps would have to look for a new leader or a new servant, a new follower? For Christ tells us we are to be the sowers of the seeds of life. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are so few. And when Jesus talks about knocking and seeking and asking, often I have thought about that passage in terms of my own needs. And maybe you're the same way. We think we've heard this message that if you just ask, if you just pray hard enough, then in faith those things will come to pass. That you will get that direction that you're looking for. You'll have that clear understanding of where you need to take the next step. But in the context of where Jesus told this story, the knocking, the seeking, and the asking wasn't for me, was it? He says, if you have a friend who comes to visit you and you have no bread, go to your neighbor and knock and knock and knock and ask for the bread, and he will give the bread to meet your neighbor's need. That's the seeds of the gospel that we're called to sow, not for ourselves, but for others. Many of us are trying to sow those seeds, aren't we? Many of us are trying to find that bread for the other. Perhaps it's the work we're trying to do in our community, that just cause that we're fighting for, that good fight that we wrestle for. We're working in our community to feed people, to clothe people, but not only that, to help people get out of poverty so that they no longer need to be fed and clothed by someone else. And sometimes it's easy to lose heart in that battle. It's so overwhelming, the needs of the community. It's easy to see all of that and then to paint that against the backdrop of these global issues like Ebola and ISIS and war. It's easy to grow weary. It's easy to grow weary as we try to do the right thing in our workplaces. Many of us, it's a daily fight just to do the right thing in our place of business. For some, it's a daily fight just to be honest in our place of business. Many of us struggle with how do we live the Christian life not only here on Sundays, but on Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5, or more realistically from 8 to 8 for many of us. How do we maintain that positive witness in a world that looks down upon us and labels us as extremists or Jesus freaks? Oh, he's the one who always wants to pray or always has to drag Jesus into the conversation. Let's just talk about the budget and sales. And it's easy to grow overwhelmed. It's easy to get that way when we deal with our own family too, isn't it? Some of us are parents, and perhaps you as a parent are worried about your child or worried about a grandchild and the life choices that they're making, and you see their life taking the wrong turn. Or maybe you have that uncle who just for many years has never been able to get their life together, and you're knocking and you're seeking and you're asking, and yet the door has yet to open. It's easy. It's easy to give up. But what was that? So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. I want to encourage you this morning. This is a sermon of encouragement, believe it or not. You are fighting the right fight. You are on the right side. You are working the good work. Paul would have you finish the race. There are others who've gone before us that have finished the race. I think about Roy Hicks and his life, whom we celebrated this past week. Roy was a person that, as I hear stories about him, though I only knew him in the bed of the nursing home, I know him, his life, his story through you. A person who sacrificed so much, who put his own home on the line for the sake of a vision, a cause, a purpose, First Baptist Church. I think about those many other sainted souls who God gave them this vision, this dream in the night. Do you think it was easy for them? Do you suppose it all just came together? Do you suppose that any of them who started this congregation were able to just show up on a Sunday and just be there? Or was something not required of all of them? You know, we began this service with this Operation Christmas Child video. Do you suppose that was an easy thing to start? Do you not imagine that there were hang-ups and setbacks and missed opportunities and perhaps even wrong turns and bad decisions along the way? And do you not doubt that there were moments when they thought, is this worth it? Is this not just too much trouble? We have those examples, but we also have the example of Paul himself. The reason I read those verses 11 through 18, though they seem like a side comment about circumcision, you miss Paul's point. His point is, I bear the marks of Jesus branded on my body. What marks do we bear on our bodies for the sake of Christ? If I roll up my sleeves, what scars would I have to show of sacrifice and service? Paul speaks both literally of real marks on his body. He was stoned, shipwrecked, flogged, beaten, imprisoned. If anybody ever had the right to say, that is enough, I've done all I can do, it's somebody else's turn, it was Paul. The man is at the point where he can't even see. He says, see what large letters I make when I'm writing in my own hand. His vision has become weak and blurred in the dimness of a prison cell and countless nights without sleep. If you were to roll up your sleeves, what would be the marks of sacrifice and service? My prayer for each of us today is that when our life is through, And those last words are spoken over our earthly body. That we would have worked in such a way that people are in awe of this God that this woman or this man loved. For they loved this God so much, they gave all. That you too might be one tough little squirrel. Would you pray with me? Oh God, renew our courage and our energy and inspire us to keep pressing forward with this good work, this righteous work you have given us. Yes, Lord, hold our hands as we cross the street to the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to respond to God's word as we sing together, "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross," number 280. Would you stand if you're able? Please be seated for a moment. I always love it when I get to make you sit back down. It means something good's about to happen. I would invite Phil and Lisa and Claire to come and stand with me here. You may be saying, what are they doing up there? This family has been a vital part of this church for 2 years now. They've served, they've committed their lives to so many of the ministries of First Baptist Church.
And so today they stand to make something official and public that's very much been true in spirit, I think, for a while now. And they seek membership in this body of Christ through transfer of letter from First Baptist Burlington. And we are excited to see you here. We're excited to know that this is not just some rubber stamp, but it's a meaningful commitment to this body. And we are blessed by your presence. If you affirm their willingness and their desire to join with this body, I invite you to stand in affirmation. I don't see anybody sitting, so I think that's a good sign. I'm going to ask if you would stay here at the front afterwards. I know that you will want to come and offer a word of encouragement and welcome to them. And at this time, would you bow with me as we go to the Lord in prayer for our benediction. May the God who makes life difficult, who challenges us and pushes us, push you and challenge you in this coming week to be the presence of Christ in a world in desperate need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Is love.